And welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. My name is Andrew Duthie. I am a developer evangelist for Microsoft working out of the Washington, D.C. area. And I am delighted to welcome Jennifer Marsman, who is joining me, another fellow DE, joining me from Ann Arbor, Michigan. How's it going, Jennifer?
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm just pleased as punch to be bringing you on here. So before we get jumping into the actual content, we were just talking a minute ago that we actually, Ann Arbor is right near where I actually grew up in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So, something in common there. I assume the water tower is still standing.
Oh, it is. It
the
is.
The ultimate landmark of Ypsilanti, Michigan. a lot of folks don't realize, but Ypsilanti, named for a Greek general. A lot of the names that you find in that part of Michigan actually come from Indians. So a lot of people kind of assume that Ypsilanti must have been some Indian tribe or Indian chief, but no, it's a Greek general. So a little bit of Ypsilanti trivia.
Fun factoid.
Exactly. So you wrote a blog post recently.
I did.
I'm sure you've written several blog posts.
I've written many.
You have a series of blog posts on building Windows 8 apps. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the series overall,
yes,
and what its goal is?
Well, the series is still in progress. So right now there are 4 posts out there.
Okay.
I would like to do, I have actually about 10 built out, but I have some other stuff I have to get to first before I can come back to it. But the basically what I wanted to do was document my experience building a Windows 8 application. So I'm mm-hmm. writing a WinRT app that I would like to put in the Windows Store. And so I kind of went through the process of creating an app and then adding kind of some of that, you know, there's some basic functionality in there. And then I added stuff like sharing and tile functionality and that sort of thing, all of the new Windows 8 features. And so there were kind of some gotchas that I learned and things like that that I really wanted to get out there and share with people. So I kind of basically have the basics are out there right now. I think like blog post 1-4 is kind of like getting started. The first one is why. Why build a Windows 8 app at all?
Okay.
And then we kind of get into getting started, how to set up your machine, what software do you need, et cetera, and then go a little bit more into the depth. And it's a kid's game.
Okay.
And so we have the basic algorithm out there, and more is coming.
All right. Well, why don't we jump over and take a look at your blog so folks will know where to find it. And we'll put a link to this in the show notes so it's easy to find from the video.
Great. You can find my blog at blogs.msdn.com/whackjennifer.
Excellent.
And yes, and the kickoff post is a little bit about why, you know, what are the top reasons. And so I kind of listed out the top 5 reasons that I think folks would want to develop for Windows 8. And so.
Okay. So let's say, let me play devil's advocate. So let's say I'm a developer.
You, Andrew? No.
Right. So let's say I'm a developer, and, you know, maybe I'm somebody who has developed a lot of ASP.NET apps or done a lot of development on the Microsoft stack, but not really ever been an app developer. And I'm taking some convincing on why is now the right time to jump in and develop an app?
Yeah, well, for that, I would probably cite 2 things. The first would be the fact that now you do not have to be, you know, a hardcore .NET person to write Windows 8 applications. With Windows 8, we actually offer 3 different kind of platform choices. You can develop using HTML 5 and JavaScript, which is kind of a whole new paradigm to think of doing client development using HTML, which has always been a web thing. So you can write actual Windows 8 client applications using HTML 5 in conjunction with CSS 3 and JavaScript is one option. So for you, in, you know, that little scenario, that might be one very compelling reason. And then the other 2, just as an aside, are using XAML in conjunction with C# or VB.NET or C++. And then you can also do DirectX with C, C++ or C# too. So a lot of different choices there in terms of languages.
So thinking about the language part, I mean, you know, if I'm somebody who's done mostly server-side development, that whole JavaScript thing might sound kind of scary. How hard is that to figure out?
Well, the thing that's really nice, or one thing that's really nice, is the fact that there are so many templates in Visual mm-hmm. Studio. So if you download the Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8, as an Express SKU, it is free, so that's nice. You can download that for free, and then there's a whole bunch of templates that get you started. You can just do File, New, and Create a New Project, and a lot of that starter code is available for you. They have little templates, project templates, and then some item templates, too. So when you think about things like searching. Search is one Windows 8 feature that's really cool. And there's actually a whole item level template where you can just kind of right click on your project and say new, you want to add a new item. And then one of those items that you can add is a search. And so if you were using HTML, it would generate for you a search.html, a search.css, and a search.js file. So all three of those files to lay out the basics of here's what my search results would look like, all nicely formatted in the HTML and the CSS, and then a whole bunch of logic around adding filters for the search and the navigation of when you click on the search and highlighting the actual text that you were searching for. So if I was searching for firewall would be highlighted in my search results. So a lot of that functionality is just kind of already built in for you, and you go in there and make a couple tweaks for, you know, here's how I would actually do the search based on the content that you have. But they have some starter, like regular expression code and all that other stuff for you. So it gets you a lot of the way there.
Now, what if I was somebody who did web development but knew a lot about things like jQuery or other libraries that you know, kind of had favorite libraries that I like to work with? Is that possible to do?
Party on, man. No, you can definitely pull in your favorite JavaScript libraries as well. So we do have a library called WinJS, and I would recommend using WinJS because there are classes set up that comply with our Windows design standards. So things like the app bar, for example, there's a nice app bar class right in WinJS. And so building that yourself, I think, might be kind of a pain. I mean, why reinvent the wheel? So you can use WinJS for things like that, definitely, and the other places where it really shines. But then if you're a jQuery fan, you know, party on. Bring in jQuery. You can reference that as well and kind of use them a la carte.
All right. So is there some place that I can get sample applications as well, or if I want to figure out how to use specific features?
Absolutely. So the place to go, kind of your one-stop shop, would be dev.windows.com. That is just an uber resource. I know we throw around the term portal a lot, and it's way overused, but and there are some places that are more or less helpful on MSDN, but I actually think that the dev.windows.com site is really good. Once you go there, you can click on kind of the subsection that deals with the WinRT apps, and within there are forms where you can ask questions. There's a ton of samples in both in a variety of languages, in the XAML as well as the HTML and JavaScript examples. So very, very useful. So
and are those downloads only, or can you browse the code online? Do I have to actually open up a project to be able to look at the code?
You can browse them online. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, back to your blog post. So, all right, so technologically, I think I've got the capability to leverage this new platform.
Yes.
Why is it worth my time right now?
Why?
Let's say I've got a little learning curve, you know, I'm kind of nervous about it. I'm a little like, what am I going to get out of this?
So I think really the single most compelling reason is market size and just size of this potential opportunity. So if when we talk about the markets nowadays, I mean, I think it feels like you know, you go into a coffee shop and you see iPads everywhere, and that form factor is definitely increasing in popularity. But the thing is, when you think about just the sheer size of the Windows market, it honestly boggles the mind. So let me give you some numbers. So there are 690 million licenses of Windows 7 that we've sold. And when you think about it, this is the number that we actually know about, the number that we've actually sold. and the reason I'm calling out Windows 7 in particular is the fact that any Windows 8 machine or any machine that can run Windows 7 in terms of hardware requirements can also run Windows 8. The hardware specs are the same. So that means that there are 690 million machines that are ready to run Windows 8, like out of the gate.
Right.
So to kind of compare, like, I don't think people have truly wrapped their mind around the size of that market. In comparison, there are 345 million Android devices out there, 196 million iPhones and iPads, and then 32 million Mac machines. And what that actually means is that if you add up all of the Android devices, plus all of the iPhones out there, plus all of the iPads, plus all of the Mac computers, that number is still less than just the number of Windows 7 licenses. That boggles the mind.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
It really is a huge, I don't think people have truly wrapped their mind around the size of this opportunity. Because just, I mean, think about it. Since this is brand new, the Windows Store is basically an open book, a clean slate at this point. Like, you could write the tic-tac-toe app for Windows 8. Like, how awesome would that be to write, like, the tic-tac-toe app for Windows 8? There's a lot of opportunity out there and just mm-hmm. so many options and so many cool things, so many cool apps to write for this platform. And then there is just such a huge potential market size. So it's something that I'm really, really excited about. I have a couple of apps currently in development, and I've got my token ready to submit to the store. So it's really, really exciting stuff.
Very cool.
So, and if you're not convinced, go ahead, sir.
So okay, that's sounding intriguing, but how do I know people are going to find my app once I've put all this work into it?
That's a very good question. Oh, there's a couple things that we have in terms of discovery of your app. So there is on your on the machine of every person who downloads Windows 8, there will be a tile that is the Windows Store tile. So everyone will be able to click that, and that will be the primary mechanism of distributing these WinRT apps. And that isn't to say that you can't do it through the enterprise as well. I do want to call that out because I know a lot of people ask that question. There, you do have the ability to write these WinRT apps and then distribute them just to your enterprise. So if you wanted to write like a line of business application, you can write it and then roll it out to your organization using a side loading process. There's actually a very detailed blog post on how to do that on the Windows Store blog. We could include that in the show notes if you'd like to see it.
That's awesome.
That tells you exactly how to do that. So that's pretty cool. So we have that option. So, but other than those kind of things, the primary mechanism for distributing these applications is going to be through the Windows Store. So that's pretty huge. And then the Windows team has also done a ton of work around search engine optimization. So mm-hmm. there is, you know, if I were to write an app called Mad Poultry, which was in no way a ripoff of Angry Birds. I could, if you were to put that into your favorite search engine, Bing, or Google or any other search engine, you should find that, you know, the term Mad Poultry, it would recognize that that's an app in the store and have a link to my app listing page would appear as one of the search results, just due to all that nice SEO work that they've done.
Now, I want to take a quick step back. So,
sure.
You're mentioning the term WinRT apps. So is that synonymous with apps that go in the Windows Store?
Yes. So there's actually a couple different terms. We were formerly using the name Metro for these applications. We've since transitioned away from that. And you can call them Windows Store applications or WinRT apps. I've been using the term WinRT apps more often because I've seen so much confusion around the fact that most people think when building these apps that they have to be distributed through the Windows Store and that there's no other way to do it. And I think that the term Windows Store apps actually perpetuates that myth and makes it worse. So I've been using the term WinRT apps because they do rely on the WinRT set of APIs. So that's
just a reference to the new API set that underlies these kinds of apps.
Exactly. Okay. But you could think of them synonymously, WinRT apps or Windows Store apps. And I do believe that the template that comes with Visual Studio does say Windows Store apps.
Right.
But we're kind of using both terms at this point.
And that's not necessarily that it's the only way to distribute apps. It's that for consumers, that's the primary way that consumers will receive these apps is through the Windows Store.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Okay. Right. So are there any other ways that folks will find my apps other than search engine optimization or other means?
Yeah, so there's some really cool stuff in the Windows Store. So you have the ability to do searching and filtering. There's a picks for you type of thing. So if Andrew, for instance, had downloaded in the past, 3 out of the 4 Twilight books, because he feels that one of the great, you know, unsolved, or one of the great love stories that has yet been told is that between a vampire and an angst-ridden teenage girl. In that scenario, he would be able to probably have the 4th Twilight book also recommended for him.
So that how kind of well
scenario,
you know me.
So those kind of things are very much supported. There's going to be a PIX for you where, based on past downloads, you can find future downloads that would be useful. You can also search by free apps or search by just apps that cost money. You can search things that have trials or just like free and trials if you're cheap like me. You can search, you can do filtering like by games. If I want to just search the games, you can do that. You can filter down to subcategories of games, just kids games or strategy games or puzzle games, those kind of things. So there's a ton of filtering.
Apps can be rated, right? So if I'm a developer, I probably want to put some effort into making my app as polished as possible, because that's one way that I can rise to the top.
Absolutely. So there are various ways you can rise to the top. One of them is on your ratings. There's a 5-star rating scale in the Windows Store apps that any user who downloads the app will be able to rate you and provide feedback. And so we'll kind of have our top stars for the things that are rated the most. And then we also have a way to kind of rise to the top in terms of just sheer number of downloads. So the most downloaded will kind of sit in one category, and then the highest rated will have another category.
It seems to me that most downloaded, probably getting into the store early would be a good advantage there.
Yes, Sarit. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, getting into the store early, I think, is a huge win, just with all of the stuff that's going to go on around launch as well. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the store looking at the first round of apps. And so to have a really polished, really amazing app in there is going to be huge, essentially.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
So looking at the rest of your post, you want to talk about sort of some of the ways that I can get paid for my app once I'm
Sure. So let me just do one more thing on Discovery, because there's something that's kind of neat. I'm not able to explain it very well. And I need more. I'm going to have to try to do it through like interpretive dance here. But essentially, one other cool thing you can do with Discovery is that there is a new feature in Internet Explorer that will allow you to basically surface the fact that you have a Metro app. So if I was some large company, let me just take, for this is sheer example, not based on anything, but let's say I'm Delta Airlines, and if Delta Airlines had a corresponding app that people could use to, you know, book flights and things like that, check flight status, manage your reservations, things like that, all they would need to do is add, essentially, I think it's 2 lines of markup to the HTML in their Delta.com site. And that markup is essentially a meta tag in your header that points back to the app ID of your listing in the Windows Store. And so the behavior that will create is a little button that the end user will see when they navigate to Delta.com. And then if they, what that will do, what that button will show, is surface the fact that they have this corresponding Windows 8 application in the store. Right. So if I don't have it installed, if I were to, you know, have some scenario where I am looking around for travel, I go to Delta.com, you know, since we all travel a lot, I end up on Delta.com, and I was like, oh, I didn't think to look in the store for a Delta app, but look, they have this thing here, and I can just click that button, and it will take me straight to the Windows 8 or to the Windows Store listing page where I can download then the Delta's application.
Right.
So that's one kind of very cool scenario. But then let's say I've downloaded it, and now maybe I'm on Bing Travel or something like that where I'm comparing airline prices. Mm-hmm. And so I may end up from there on Delta's page because maybe, you know, they have the best prices, so I click through to Delta. And at that point, I might say, hey, wait, I don't actually want to use my browser anymore. Maybe there's a richer experience through the app. So then you can click that same button, will still be surfaced there, but if you have the app already installed, when you click it, what will happen is it will actually launch the app for you. So right from Internet Explorer, it can launch that app. So it's a really neat thing where it surfaces the fact that you have an app right from your website, so you can really take advantage of like brand loyalty. Like if XKCD, if they create an app, I'm going to buy it. I don't know how much it costs because I so love that site. I'm on that site, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because that's when they update. So that kind of a thing where there's that strong brand loyalty, you know, really compelling, because you just kind of surface the fact that, hey, we have an app right through your website, and then people are more likely to download it.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right, so I'm convinced I'm going to write an app. How do I make money?
How do you make money?
Well,
there's actually a lot of flexibility there. Yes, there's a lot of flexibility there. You can have free apps. You can have paid apps, which means apps that cost money. For free apps, your free apps could be ad-supported or not ad-supported. For the ad-supported, they could use a Microsoft advertising SDK, or they can use a third-party ad SDK. That's perfectly fine, too. For the paid apps, you can have trial versions. The trial versions can have either be time-based or feature-based, meaning either, you know, time-based, of course, is I expire after 7 days or 30 days or whatever, and feature-based meaning I write a game and you have access to the first, you know, 10 levels until I get you hooked, and then, you know, after that you have to pay for the rest, you know, maybe another 90 levels for a 100-level game or something like that. Right. So that all is available. There's also in-app purchases where you have the ability to allow people to buy additional things from right within your game. So there's just a ton of flexibility, a lot of different business models there. You also have the ability to kind of a la carte substitute things in. Like, for example, if eBay were to want to build a Windows 8 application, they have an existing relationship with PayPal as their payment processor. And right. So they can continue to do that. Like, you can kind of sub in PayPal instead of our processing engine. There's a lot of ways to kind of substitute things in and out there. So it's really, really kind of a cool thing. Now, for the third-party advertising and for these other things that you can substitute in, you do have to there is like an advertising check. Like, Microsoft does do a check on the advertising company to make sure you're not selling anything illegal or offensive or whatever. I'm assuming all the big ones would get through pretty fine.
Okay. So. Yeah. All right. So anything else that I should know before I jump in on this app?
Well, one thing that I think is pretty cool is, so you start building your app, and then there's a lot that you can do. There's just a lot of transparency in the whole process when you're submitting to the store. So to kind of begin with, before you even submit to the store, we have a tool called the Windows App Certification Kit, which is unfortunately nicknamed the WAC. Look at the acronym. So you can run the WAC on your Metro-style application or your WinRT application, and when you run that, it actually takes like 10, 15 minutes to run, something like that. It will just kind of chug away. And what it does is actually run a series of automated tests on your application. That is the exact same series of tests will be run when you actually submit to the store. So that is really compelling, Andrew. Like, when you think about it, if you've done any development for some of the other platforms, the mobile platforms, what you may have found is this really great cycle of, you know, I write my code, I submit to the store, I wait, and then I get back and there's a bug. Okay, I fix the bug, I submit, I wait, come back, there's another bug, and it's, you know, lather, rinse, repeat, right? It's you know, this long process. And so this is kind of cool because it's this client-side tool that you can just run yourself, take a step out of that whole feedback loop, make sure that everything works just fine on your machine first before you even submit to the store. And then you're guaranteed that at least all of those. So that's just a subset of all the tests that'll be run. So I'm not guaranteeing that if you pass locally that you would necessarily get into the store. But that will at least take some of those automated tests away and give you the opportunity to get that working properly.
And if I don't run that test, I'll never know if there are things that are broken before I submit to the store. Because if
know.
I find them locally, it's a lot faster than waiting for a whole cycle of review.
Exactly, because otherwise you have to wait, and then you'll come back and get a bug and have to fix it anyway. So it's just a little faster. And then you're like being that guy. You don't want to be that guy, right? Everybody's been on a distribution list where there's that guy who asks a question, and it's like if you would have just typed that into a search engine, you would have gotten the answer on the first, you know, try. So just don't be that guy. Have some pride.
I'll let you in on a little secret that I discovered today is that if you actually go into the store menu in Visual Studio and create an app package, when you create the app package at the very end, it actually gives you a button to start the WAC tool right from there, which is really cool because then you don't have to go in and figure out which app is yours in the list. You don't have to select which type of validation to do. It just goes straight to your app, runs through the test, gives you the report, and you can have the confidence to know that, hey, I've passed all these tests, at least the initial automated part of the certification, I'm done with that. So there's that much less to worry about when you actually get to submitting to the store.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then after you've submitted too, it continues to be like mega transparent. Like, you can log into a developer dashboard, and at any time, essentially, you can see what are all of the steps that I need in order to get all the steps of certification. So they're all listed out for you. You can see where your app is in the certification process at any given time, and you can see how long each step usually takes. So it's really nice. You can log in and say, okay, this step usually takes about an hour. This usually takes about, you know, 5 hours, et cetera. And so when you look at those numbers, you can kind of get a sense of, okay, here's exactly where I'm at, as opposed to I'm just waiting and I have no idea when they're going to get back with me. So that in itself, I think, is pretty compelling as well. And then after you've actually submitted to the store and your app gets in there, there is a ton of really rich reporting available. Mm-hmm. So the Windows Store blog has actually been doing a series of blog posts on that. They have one, I think it's called like Making Customer-Focused Decision with Adoption Reports. So there's one on adoption reports, another one on some of the analysis reports. There's actually some really cool stuff around like the error reporting, if you're familiar with kind of like the old Dr. Watson type mm-hmm. thing, where essentially if you've ever had an app crash on you and it ever says, do you want to send the error back to Microsoft, and that you can do that, your users have the ability to do that as well. So if your app crashes on them, they can send that back to you, and then you get a nice report of, okay, here's all the JavaScript errors that my users are seeing, and then you have the ability to kind of send back, you know, great information or be able to fix your bugs while and make a more secure, better app with less
That's
bugs.
That's very cool.
It is. Right, it's so, really, really cool.
So we're getting a little low on time. So I wanted to also talk about, I'm convinced now. All right. I'm ready to go. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that Microsoft offers to help developers who are getting started. So we've got one program that's called Generation App, and there's sort of a sub part of that called 30 Days to Launch. Takes you from sort of your great idea, right? You've got your app idea, and walks you through step by step how to get started. It's got links for downloads. It's got week by week. It's almost sort of a week by week syllabus of all of the things that you need to get your app from idea to ready for the store, including the opportunity for design review or technical support one-on-one with a Microsoft engineer. That actually, we'll have a link to the Generation app in the show notes, which you can click through and sign up. And then there's also a place where you can actually sign up and profile your application. So if you go to aka.ms/apps, you can actually sign up, create an account, and profile your app, and then someone like Jennifer or myself or one of our teleteam can get in touch and put you into the schedule for what we call an app excellence review, where you can sit down with a Microsoft Premier field engineer and actually spend a couple of hours going over your app, getting feedback on things that need to be polished to get ready for the store, so that when you go and submit to the store, you have a nice smooth sailing experience. You can get right through and get in the store before Windows 8 is even generally available. Now, have you been through that process with any folks you're working with?
Yes. No, I've done it myself, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm writing a Metro app, and I kind of signed myself up for one of those reviews. Uh-huh. And it was awesome. I mean, it's just nice to have a second pair of eyes look at right. someone who's been these folks who we work with have been trained by the Windows team. And so they know, okay, here are the big gotchas for getting into the store. So it's just, mm-hmm. I mean, if nothing else, you walk away with, you know, here's some great tips from someone on how to make my app better. And then right. I was fortunate enough to have an app that was good enough to get a token for early access to the store, too. So it's, right. yeah, it was an incredible opportunity, and it's nice to just get that. And then right now, one of the other things that you can get from that opportunity is the ability to have your development costs paid for 2 years. Wow. So that's pretty compelling as well. It's kind of industry standard that to develop apps, you'll see this with the iOS development and such as well, mm-hmm. that there's a developer registration kind of fee, an annual right. fee. And so if you go through those reviews, you have the potential to get your dev cost paid for 2 years, which is nice.
Yeah, and that cost is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the cost, just in case people are curious, for Windows 8 development is $49 a year for individuals and $99 a year for corporations.
Yeah, and the point about the tokens is pretty important, because as of the time that we're recording this, the store is open for corporations or for company accounts, but individuals need to have a token in order to be able to get an account in the store, and you have to have an account in the store to be able to submit your app. So right now, going through this App Excellence Lab is your first and finest way of getting a hold of a token. You bring a high-quality app into that review process, and there's a good chance that you can get it into the store. And certainly, I know you will, and I'm tasked with making that as easy as possible for developers.
Right. Well, the other thing that's cool, too, is that when you have that, or when you've gone through these reviews, you also have the ability, once you get that token, to reserve your app name too,
right,
which is nice. So if you want to grab one of the hot names, you have the ability to do that. Nothing where you're like stealing, you know, trademarks or anything like that. Like I would think, you know, Angry Birds, but something like tic-tac-toe, something like generic like that, chess, right, whatever. Those are like great things.
Yeah, get your SEO going on your app name right
away. Exactly.
Very cool. Well, yeah. Jennifer, thanks for spending some time with me to talk about this. I hope that folks are inspired by my needing to be convinced by you. I think you did a good job of convincing. Hopefully we can get you back on another episode of Dev Radio in the future.
Sounds great.
So you've been watching another episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Thanks to Jennifer Marsman, and thanks to Chris Caldwell, our producer, and we're out of here.